I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition for a Monday afternoon on 91.7 WVXU. On the way today, Thane Maynard speaks with National Geographic Magazine's editor-at-large for photography, Nick Nichols. Nichols is coming to town for a talk about his new book, Earth to Sky, which documents the life of African elephants and the challenges they're facing due to poaching and human interference. That's coming up a little bit later. First, though, you can't keep a good dog down. Francesco Marsigliano is the current writer for the internationally syndicated family comic strip Sally Forth for the web comic Medium Large, and he's written for the Onion News Network and the PBS Kids series Seymour's Playhouse. In bookstores now is a canine follow-up to his popular book of poems by cats titled I Could Pee on This. The new book? I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. It brings the creativity, hidden motives, and eternal effervescence of our canine friends to light. Do you have a doggy laureate who has unbridled enthusiasm and an insatiable appetite? What kind of creative canine do you share your life with? You can call us 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, post on Facebook, or tweet us. Francesco Marsigliano is on phone from his home in New York City. Hello and welcome again to Cincinnati Edition, Francesco.
Hi, I'm happy to be here. Thank you very much.
And am I pronouncing your last name correctly? I think I was. I hope I was remembering properly from the last time we talked.
Yes, you are. Actually, you are. And as I said, I think I said last time, it took me about 4 or 5 years to get it right, so don't worry about it.
As it goes along. Well, when we talked last, it was about the first poetry collection, I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats, and it seems those feline poets had created quite a stir and continue to do so. Are you surprised at the overwhelming response you've been getting for that first book?
I am. I just feel very fortunate. A lot of people, I guess, just want to hear what their cats have to say, but no, I've been very lucky, and it's still doing well, and yeah, at no point did I go, well, I'm going to write a book titled I Could Pee on This, and I'm sure that's going to go over big. But, you know, it's as I said, I feel very fortunate.
Well, obviously after the cat poems, everyone wanted to know what the dog poets were saying. So how long after the first book did this second book begin to take shape?
The second book started to form before the first book came out. So I had finished writing the first book summer 2011, and then by fall of 2011, I started writing the dog book.
And did you have suggestions from viewers, your readers, as to what direction the dog book should take?
Well, I mean, people would contact me over the cat book, had given me stories about their dogs, and I grew up, I had three different dogs over my life. And I know a lot of people have them. I live in New York City, so we are surrounded by dogs. I can just walk over to Central Park, and you'll see several of them. And a lot of it is where it comes from, either remembering my pets or just going for a walk and seeing dogs interact with their owners, interact with other dogs, just taking in the environment. And, so what I'm saying is most of my creative time is me just wandering around. But, you know, it is. I try to use it wisely. I walk around the city a lot. Sometimes it looks like I'm a fugitive who just seems to go home every night. But it's turned out okay.
Well, how does this differ from your work in the comics? I mean, this is something, you know, you are a writer for the comics versus the drawer. So, I mean, how does this differ and compare and contrast the two jobs, I guess I'm asking?
Well, I mean, in some way, there isn't that much of a difference. Most of how I tend to write, I don't like sitting in front of the computer a lot and just staring at the screen because, you know, then I've got internet access and there goes that day. But I do end up walking a lot. I walk about 6 to 8 miles a day. And that's how I think through stories. That's how I get ideas. And it helps actually just to be outside, just to be out of one's head, out of one's house. And even in a place like New York City where people would think it would just be constant noise, one, it kind of becomes white noise after a while, and two, it doesn't really faze me that much, and it just lets mine wander, and I'm not saying that always ends up with with something brilliant or anything like that, but that's how I've usually done my writing, mostly by walking.
If I remember correctly from our first conversation about I Could Pee on This book, it was prompted by the death of one of your pets?
Right. It was by the death of by the passing of my two cats, Boris and Natasha. There was about a two. There was a 3-year difference between their passing, and after Natasha passed away at the age of 17, it was a very kind of long, sad period for me, and I wanted to I wanted to remember them in a special way, and so I started writing the poems. But I didn't want the poems to be cutesy or maudlin, because when I thought about my pets, it wasn't about them being, oh, aren't they adorable little creatures, or, and I didn't want it to just be about how sad I was that they were no longer around, but I really wanted to capture their spirit and how much personality they had and how funny they could be and how, you know, like anyone who's had pets, infuriating they could be sometimes, because I think that was actually part of the joy and part of the fun. So I thought the best way I could do it was write humor poems rather than just write poems. And I posted them online, and I got a really good good reaction, and then I submitted it to my agent, and he said, "Ah, we'll see what happens." And then he called me a few weeks later and said, "I submitted them to publishers without telling you, figuring if everyone said no, you wouldn't have to know and your feelings wouldn't be hurt." But we got a reaction, so I'm calling you to let you know. And that started the whole process.
I'm speaking with Francesco Marsiliano, who is the writer of the New York Times bestselling book, I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats, and the new book, I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. You can question or comment Francesco if you'd like online at talk@wvxu.org or on the phone at 513-419-7100. I have to say, I know a lot of people who bought the cat book on the title alone. And, you know, I have to say, you brought humor to what makes me maddest about my cats in the title alone, I Could Pee on This. So with the dogs, I guess you were focusing on probably their biggest complaint, too.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people, when I started saying I was going to do the dog book, they automatically thought it was going to go, the title was going to go, obviously, scatological. But that wasn't the case, because, you know, when cats do pee, they're often making a statement about it. It's not the simple fact that, you know, it could be a host of issues, but, you know, oftentimes, like, I'm particularly upset at you, and here's how I'm getting this across. Whereas with a dog, if they do go in the house, it's because you forgot to take them out. It's not usually how they make their statement. But what they do is that they'll chew everything, they'll hide everything. Usually one of, you know, if you have a pair, they only take one of those. So at least you'll still have the memory of it by having the other shoe or the other key on the chain.
True.
But so that generated that kind of thing. And then it was just a matter of, as I said, remembering my time with my dogs and, you know, talking to other people with various dogs.
Well, you certainly push all the right buttons, and I love. I noticed with the dogs, there are less chapters than there were in the cat poem book. But
it's actually the same amount of chapters. There are 4 chapters.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I miscounted. I didn't use all my fingers.
Oh no,
it's
a small book. You can breeze right through it easily and miss it. I understand.
But I love the dictum right on chapter one for the "I Could Chew on This" chapter one. We were wolves once, wild and wary. Then we noticed you had sofas. And I think for a lot of dogs, my wife and my dog are in an ongoing battle over the sofa, as a matter of fact. Why do dogs love our furniture so much?
I mean, they see we're comfortable in it. I mean, they see us watching TV or taking a nap, and they're thinking, well, that looks rather comfortable. It's either that or I'm going to lie on the floor, and that's a little cold. You know, it'd be nice if you just carpeted the whole place, but you're not going to, so I'm going to sit there. And then maybe they're thinking, you know, the cat's always there. Why can't I be there? I'm 3 times the size of the cat. Why can't I have the sofa? He can have the little ottoman.
Right. Well, I wondered, you know, obviously there was some inspiration for the cat book. Is it easier for you to channel cats or the dogs or a middle-aged woman like Sally Forth? Or is that too personal, Francesco?
No. Well, you don't know what I'm doing on my off time, and now that I'm on radio, I can't even tell you what. No, I'm kidding. With each of the pets, I had those pets. I grew up with a lot of pets. I had cats. At one point, my family was feeding upwards of 12 feral cats, which I'm sure is a number none of the neighbors ever discussed. We had dogs, we had turtles, we had fish, we had a canary. I'm not naming future books, by the way, in case anyone's getting nervous and going, oh, now we're going to have to sit through this thing. But, you know, 15 books later, it's just poems by voles and hedgehogs for British gardeners. You know. But it is a matter of just remembering that time that I spent with the animal, I mean, with the pet, and remembering, you know, how much joy the cat brought me, how much joy the dog brought me, and how those relationships were different. And it was each time just trying to imagine the relationship from the pet's point of view, because I think we always know how much joy the pet gives gives the person. But how much? What does the pet get from that person? Because clearly they love that relationship too. But what are they expecting? And also, as we get exasperated with pets, what drives them nuts about us? And I'm sure there's several. I'm sure I drove my cats insane. And I sound particularly healthy saying that in public, don't I? By the way, but and as far as Sally Forth. The strip, when it first came out, because I didn't create the strip, it came out in 1981, 82, thereabout. It was about a working mom, which in 1981, 1982 was an odd concept for a lot of people. Or it shouldn't have been, but a lot of people, wow, a working mom. And if I took the strip as I'm writing about a working mom in 2013, it might as well be Trapped in Amber. It would be a prehistoric strip, because that's not... That is such a given at this point, I couldn't use that as a template for the strip. So it's not me thinking, trying to figure out how do I write about, you know, a 42-year-old woman. It's basically how do I write for Sally? Because now it's more about their character and their personality. How do I write for Sally? How do I write for Ted? I mean, if you look at the strip, I'd say about 85% of the population of strip is female. And I created about like 60% of those characters now. And I like that. I like that it's a strip that has a large female cast. But it isn't like, oh, here's the woman strip. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a strip about these characters, or at least I hope so. At least that's what I try to do with it. Not to make it a theme strip. I try to make it, this is about these people.
Speaking with Francesco Marsigliano, the author of the new book of poems by dogs called I Could Chew on This. Jeb from Wyoming, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Well, thank you, Mark. Long-time listener and first-time caller. And Chez, do you recognize my voice?
Yes, Jeb, I do, my
uh-oh.
Because my best friend from college, Jeb Breck.
That's right. And I'm calling because we haven't been in touch much. You still owe me $20, Chez, and the VIG is really building up. So I suppose I
I'm forgetting
go
at this point what we even bet on,
book.
Because this would have to be like 1980s. You know, I don't know, would Willow be a good movie? Was that the bet? I don't know at this point.
I just wanted to call and tell Chez that we have bought multiple copies of the book to give to as many friends as will accept it, and now they think we're awfully weird. But what I wanted to ask you was a question from your past, Chez, that you never really answered for us. Where do you come up with your scenarios? And I will take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeb. So where do you come up with your scenarios?
My best friend from college, Jeb.
Yes.
And now, what, do I actually owe him $20? Now I actually feel bad. Did he buy me like some Subway sandwiches back in college, and now I completely forgot about this? But, you know, the scenario question is basically when you just walk around, as I said, for 6 to 8 miles, it's like you either think of something or you realize you're completely lost and you've wandered too far away from home.
Okay.
So I think that's what I do. I get lost in my head a lot, and I've been with people who say it's a little annoying to walk with me. It's like, hello, 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 and 3 miles later, oh, hi, how are you?
how do you write down your ideas? How do you write down your ideas while you're walking, or how do you keep your ideas?
I usually have like a messenger bag and I have a notepad and I write it down, or if it's just quick ideas then I just use the notepad function on the good old iPhone and then hope that I don't accidentally erase what I just wrote on the iPhone. So basically then I email, then I come back home and there's like 62 emails, some of them involving 3 words, and I'm hoping I remembered what they meant.
Lindsay from New Richmond, you're on Cincinnati Edition. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I also grew up in a home with many, many pets. And living in America, we had pets there that we got out of the jungle. And I can relate to this. And I was curious to know why you were inspired to write as a poetry instead of short stories or something else along those lines or a full novel.
Oh, I mean, no, that's a good question. I think the poetry, I think, was able to, I wanted to encapsulate the most in a brief period possible. I wanted to give, like, a glimpse into the pet's mind. I think if I used them as short stories, there was a chance the pet would become a, now, obviously, they're anthropomorphic. Apparently, they type this. So I'm not saying, like, these are pure pet minds. But I think if I wrote a short story, there'd be a chance it would lean a little too much to that way, and it'd be almost about the character of that very dog telling the story or that very cat telling the story, whereas this I wanted to be a little more universal. And I think keeping them a little briefer and a little tighter works for that purpose. I think also it's a matter of, for the sake of humor, brevity helps. And to get the point across, I think it worked a little better for a humor book to maybe be about 10 lines and maybe a couple pages. I'm not saying a short story collection from pets wouldn't work. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying for my purposes, this seemed to be the best approach.
Francesco Marsigliano, author of the best-selling poetry collection, I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats, and the new collection, I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. What do you think of the feline and canine poetry? Which of the poems does your cat or dog most relate with or resemble? Call and talk to Francesco at 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. We'll be back with more from Francesco after a break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for tuning to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. On the phone with me this afternoon is Francesco Marsigliano, author of the new collection of poetry, I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. And here is one titled, Another Bag. Love, true, unbridled love, is looking at what I just did on the sidewalk and then picking it up in a bag. I can only imagine as a treasured keepsake. Wow, the collection you must have by now. Another Bag, a poem from I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs by Francesco Marsigliano, who's on the phone this afternoon on Cincinnati Edition. If you have a question or comment about either I Could Chew on This or his previous book, I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats, give us a call at 513-419-7100. Francesco, I wanted to ask about whether you had particular dogs in mind when you're writing this. I know there's a poem by a purse dog who, lauds the advantages of getting to ride around in a purse, but were you thinking of the dogs that you grew up with or the ones you observed on your 6 to 8 miles of walking you do every day?
Actually, it was both. I mean, I thought of the ones that I grew up with, which were, one was a Great Dane, one was a Beagle. A beagle named Snoopy, because that's what happens when you let your 8-year-old Peanuts comic strip loving kid name the dog. And the Great Dane was named Splash, because that's what happens when you let your 3-year-old name the dog. And, I mean, part of that was also, I think that there is a poem in the book about naming a pet that goes horribly wrong as far as the pet is concerned.
Yes.
And that was inspired by the fact that I gave this poor dog the name Splash at age 3, and it was ruined. His life was ruined because I named him Splash. Or, I robbed the beagle of any, if it's a unique personality, because I said, you're Snoopy. It's like, oh, great, that's all I need now. I need to sleep on top of a doghouse. But, it was based on those pets, and also, as I said, many that I've seen and many friends' dogs that I have, and I wanted to get a wide range. I wanted to get from the tiny dog, from the purse dog all the way to the mastiff, wolfhound. I wanted to get the full range, because I just wanted anyone who had a dog to at least maybe hopefully find their dog in the book. So I didn't want it to be just a reflection on dogs that I knew, it sounds like an odd autobiography, dogs that I knew, dogs that I've been around, but I wanted it to be universal enough that anyone could say that's just like mine without specifying breeds. Because it's mostly about personality and I think that's the most important thing about pets. When you have a relationship with a pet, it is about their person. You're making a connection not with a breed or not with the size of a dog, but with that dog's personality, who that dog really is. And that's what I was trying to get through with the books.
So after the cat poetry book and maybe with the dog book on the horizon, did you have other cat and dog lovers offering suggestions or their own pets' poems?
Oh, yeah, no, when the cat book came out, I got a bunch of photos, often with the cat reading the book, or often the cat, it would be even funnier when the cat looked at the book with disdain, because, it was a cat,
yes.
Or, because they thought, oh, my poem's not in there. But no, I would get stories from cat owners, and I started getting stories from dog owners because when the cat book came out, a lot of people went, when's the dog version? Because there were people like, what about us? Why can't the dogs have this? And yeah, and those, of course, generated a lot of ideas. And once again, you know, thinking on that, thinking on pets that I'd known, and also wandering around aimlessly for 8 miles a day, all kind of coalesced into the book.
We had an email from Jeff Vigiano, who says he grew up with you and says everyone's proud of you. And Viapost says, hi from Vig.
Yeah, Vigiano. I've known him since, kindergarten.
Wow. Well, all these...
And reflecting on that, now we both feel, now Jeff and I should both feel remarkably old. But no, that is very nice of him. And that's the other thing, is that I've heard from a lot of old friends and a lot of people since the books came out. So that's been a wonderful result of all this.
So what are you tired of hearing about since the books came out?
Actually... No. There hasn't been anything. It's like, if I ever hear of another pet again. No, it's been nothing like that. I mean, I absolutely love animals. And if anyone wants to talk to me about their animal, it doesn't need to be a cat, a dog, it'd be a ferret, a newt. I absolutely enjoy that. There's no point where that ever bores me. I remember at one point, I was trying to say after the cats passed away, I'm trying to go, I do want to get a pet eventually, and I probably will. But at one point, one thought in my head, basically, you know what? Maybe I'll get a pig. I think I'd like to get a pig. And I think, you want to be the single guy living in Manhattan with a pet pig?
True.
Why don't you just ruin your life right there? Why don't you just end it right there? No one will. And it's like, okay, occasionally my animal madness goes a little too far. I currently am not residing with a pig. But, a pig or a spider that's leaving messages in the corner for the pig. I think it all would have worked out remarkably well, or I would have gone insane.
True.
But, there's nothing about that. And as I said, if people want to talk to me about the books, about pets, about poetry, I would be more than happy. And I'm just genuinely happy that people do want to do that. There's really no downside to this at all.
I mentioned your webcomic, Medium Large, and I know you have quite an online presence and you tweet, et cetera. And I also noticed as I was doing, some background and research, when that negativity, when those trolls pop up online, and that, what is your take on that ability or stupidity, if you may, of people expressing opinions that they might not really say to your face, but happy to type it on your screen?
Well, I mean, that's I think that kind of mentality has been around for a while. I mean, even before email, people were more than willing to write a letter to the store saying what horrible service they had, what a miserable experience they had at a place, but far less likely to take the time and go, your people, they were wonderful, I had a great time. So the impulse has always been to complain more than praise, and that's perfectly fine. And I think, to a certain degree, anyone who's going to write or publish anything or put anything out, whether it be music, whether it be a performance, whether it be, a painting, whether it be a book, whether it be a comic strip, to a certain degree, once it's out there, it's not entirely yours anymore. And whatever reaction someone's going to have to it, they're fair to have that reaction. That's their reaction. Now, granted, sometimes those reactions are passive-aggressive, or they don't really have to do with the thing, and they're using it as a means of attack. But you can't take that personally because, you can't go under the idea that every time someone likes what I did and agrees with what I did, they're a genius. Every time someone disagrees with what I did, they're an idiot. It doesn't work that way. Everyone's allowed an opinion, and once you put it out there, you kind of have to let it go to a degree and realize it belongs to them in the way they're going to interpret it. I mean, not legally. Hearst would sue everyone for telling forth, but, don't take that trip. But
right.
You have a comment with you will, and when I get emails, I'll get positive emails about Sally Forth, and then I'll get negative emails about Sally Forth. I answer both. And I sincerely answer, thank you for taking the time to write to me. Because, they're not being paid to read my stuff or to look at anything. They took time to do it. If they don't like it, fine. If they want to take the time to write to me, fine. I will respond. But I never respond like, well, you got it wrong or how dare you. It's like, thank you for sharing that. And I found that when you write back, I think a lot of people when they complain or say things that, in a negative way, they're yelling into the void. that I think when they hear a voice come back, it's like, oh, okay, well, I understand that. I've done that before, and the tone of the conversation shifts dramatically. It's like, well, yeah, I didn't mean anything bad, but I just wanted to say this, and I completely understand that. So you can't get worked up about it. You'll lose your mind if you do, and it's not healthy, and it's, to a degree, not right. I mean, I get paid to write pet poems and write dialogue and three panels in a comic strip. I really don't have a reason to be complaining about anything. I'm very fortunate. I get to do exactly what I've always wanted to do since age 5, except become a Jedi Knight. And, I get that. And if I'm going to complain about the fact that someone doesn't like it, I really don't have the right to do that. It's how the system works, and you let it work.
Francesca Marsigliano, author of the best-selling poetry collection I Could Pee on This and Other Poems by Cats, and the new collection I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs. You can talk to him at 513-419-7100. And from Wyoming, you're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, Chez. This is really
Hello,
funny.
Hello, Ann. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, see, I told you, the books bring back old friends.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, and you have a question, Ann. Now I feel like I'm taking your job. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I love your Facebook feed, especially the Overheard on the Street. And I was wondering about, are you like stationed in one place where you overhear on the street, or is this across as long as you're walking? And then
no,
I had
that's
a...
Hey,
the question for you is that as we've given your books out to all kinds of people, and the best response, like from the third grader, sat down and just started reading out the poems out loud to her family. And, that's one of the great things about your work is that it's really all age. Have you ever thought about doing something that's just adult focused?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Ann. Thank you. And have I done anything that's adult-focused? I've written a few things that, I'm going to try to see to get published about that. The web comic is a little more adult-focused.
Yes, it is.
I've curbed some of the adult focus away now that the books have come out, obviously. But, it's weird. I actually do want to do something more adult-focused. I do want to do something far more kid-focused. So I actually would like to write for both demographics, and but I am very happy that these books do go across several age groups. And one of the best things I can possibly hear is the fact that someone enjoys reading them out loud to other people. Because I do think I wanted these poems to be read out loud. I think that's part of the fun of this. And I've seen videos. There was a bookstore that put up with a little girl there who was reading poems from the book at the bookstore, independent bookstore, which are have been absolutely wonderful for the book, and please support them whenever possible. And not simply because of my book, because they're really vital to communities. And it was just absolutely wonderful to see. And to hear that actually makes me very happy. And as far as what I overhear, when you walk 8 miles a day, you're bound to hear a lot of lunatic ramblings. And that's actually part of the fun.
How much is coming out of your mouth when you do that, though, Francesca?
Oh, I'm sure a lot of someone else is doing it, but that would actually be sad because often I'm walking alone. So, if I'm wandering around just saying things out loud, I'm not saying that isn't a possibility, but, then it may be time for meds, but we'll see.
I had another question from an email that asked, has anyone told you about reading these poems to their cat or dog?
No, I actually haven't been offered any command performances to read in front of pets. But I think I would, now that I'm thinking, I would like to actually do that once, maybe just as a film. Of course, my idea would be the film for that the pets actually to be upset by it and not enjoy it whatsoever. So I may not be my own best PR person.
Okay.
But I actually have not thought of that. There's a chance if I had pets when I was writing them, and, when I write the next one and such, that I may try it out on the pet, thinking that's going to work. So, once again, I may not be wandering around talking out loud, but that's not to say I'm particularly sane yet.
Well, you say you'd like to do more stuff with kids, but Anne was asking you about doing more adult stuff, but wouldn't that mean you'd have to grow up?
To a degree, or at least fake it. You know, I'll let the inner child take one book deal. I'll let the adult take the other. And then when they both get rejection slips, they can commiserate somewhere in the middle of my body. Obviously, I've worked out the science of this perfectly.
I hear that. Well, you know, as it goes along, was it easier to write for the cat poems or the dog poems? You know, because cats are so internal and dogs seem so external.
They were actually, I mean, each time I was focused very much on that animal, so it didn't become a matter of comparison. But with a cat, the cat poems are basically, the cat poems are very internal. Cats are very solitary. You know, they're solitary hunters. They're very much on their own. So a lot of the cat poems were basically trying, what is this cat thinking when it's staring off in the distance for 3 hours consecutively? Which also means I'm staring at a cat staring off at a distance 3 hours
True.
Consecutively. You know, this is what happens when you work at home, people, and this is why I'm walking 8 miles a day outside the house. But, so a lot of it was trying to think, what are you thinking? Or when they walk through and shatter everything on it, they, what are you thinking? Whereas the dog book was very much about the social aspect, because a dog looks like they're always trying to tell you something, but there's more to what they're saying. Because I think a lot of times with the dog, what a lot of people assume the dog is telling you is like, I love you, or I got to go outside and pee right now. And obviously there's more to their conversation to that. And so it was more about what you'll see with the cat book, it's very much the internal relation, the internal idea of the cat and what they think, what they're thinking about their person. You know, obviously when they're sitting on their face, staring them out of sleep or screaming from the top of the ceiling. And with the dog, there's a lot more of a social aspect with the dog. When the dog is with the person, when the dog is with other dogs, when the dog finds themselves in a strange situation where there isn't a person around and how that affects their behavior. So the dog book also is about what happens when the person's there. With the cat book, it's like, okay, now I can do this when my person's not here. With the dog, it's like, I don't understand, why isn't he here, and how that completely alters their take on their you know, present environment. So, I mean, both books were a lot of fun to write, but it wasn't a matter of comparison. It was just a matter of like, okay, this is a shift. I mean, in both books, hopefully the underlying point is the pets do love their people, and they're very connected emotionally to their person. Cats are not unemotional, and they're not disconnected from their person. They show it in a different way. They'll come up, you know, occasionally they'll nudge their head under your chin when you're not expecting it, as you spit out soda as they nudge it, you know, as they slam their forehead into your chin.
Right.
But they both will always be there for you, and they both love you. It's a matter of the different types of relationships. The end product's always the same, but it's the way they communicate. So it was just a matter of trying to think of those lines each time.
Tom on Facebook says your books are hilarious. What are your favorite poets or writers?
Ah, okay. My favorite writer is John Irving has actually been always one of my favorite writers of all time. I absolutely love him. And one of my favorite books of all time is Winter's Tale, which also was the same author who wrote Soldier of a Great War. And, of course, now that I'm saying both of these out loud, you think Halperin. Excellent. Mark Halperin. I knew the name would kick me. Halperin. I knew the name would kick in the moment I started talking out loud. And poetry, it's a various thing. It's, you know, sometimes you want your Yeats. Sometimes you want your William Carlos Williams. And it really, sometimes you just even want, you know, you want some Nast, or, you know, even something that Thurber might have written, you know, when he did like a little scribble poem. It certainly depends on the mood. And, but books, usually I like a very large cast, a great big story, and sometimes like a building's roman, just, you know, follow a character through their life. And, so, you know, saying that I like really 800-page books, and the answer before, that's why I wrote 10-line poems.
I wondered about that.
It was like now the 3-volume set of the life of a dog. You know, I'm not sure that would have sold as well.
When you are thinking, you were talking before, well, about wanting a pet pig and other things, and, you know, talking about those voles and moles,
yeah,
and I would look for those too. But you're moving away now from the poems by pets in a new direction. Do you think there might be some follow-ups to these?
Actually, I'm doing both. There is now Chronicle, because these books are written a year in advance and they want to keep it a little private. I feel bad. I'm going, you know, the third pet poem book is already done. It was just finished, the final draft was finished last week. And, you know, because the manner of poetry where someone goes, okay, well, this seems to be doing well. Oh, he's doing this. Why don't we jump in 6 months earlier? So I feel bad going, it's a secret, you know, because it's like an NSA tap all of a sudden. But, you know, the third book is, there will be two more pet poetry books. The third one's finished. The fourth one I'll start writing soon. And while I'm doing that, I am writing manuscripts and pitches for other books, hopefully one, a young adult book, because, you know, there certainly aren't enough of those right now. But, yeah, I'll give it a shot anyway. Okay. And a children's book as well. And there will probably be other pet humor books after the four poetry books. They may not be poetry anymore. But I love writing about animals, so that's always going to be the case.
Well, thank you for your time today, and thank you for the poems, too. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I had a fantastic time. Thank you.
Writer Francesco Marsigliano, his new book is I Could Chew on This and Other Poems by Dogs, available where books are sold. A link to more about I Could Chew on This and about Francesco available at WVXU.org. We'll leave you with the dog mantra from Chapter 2 outside. Best not to ask, what is it, until you finish rolling in it. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.